doorway. The subtitle is, The Door of Hope is Open. The Door of Hope is Open. We had a historic event occur in our city on Monday when the most rain in the history of Phoenix fell in one day. The airport got 3.3 or 3.2 inches of rain, but just a couple blocks from here in downtown Phoenix, we got over 6 inches of rain within a few hours. We received a year's worth of water in one day. 365 days compressed into one moment, a couple hours. I see that as a prophetic sign from God. That God is not just releasing things to be done, but God's accelerating the frequency or the normal cycles of fulfillment. God's accelerating that. He's compressing things into a sovereign and powerful fulfillment of the promise of God for our lives. Phoenix, Arizona is a city that has been prophesied over for decades and decades. I remember as a child, Pastor Hayford and others and Bill Hammond and prophets from around the world, Averna Tompkins, would prophesy about Phoenix, this and that. And Phoenix has more prophecy than fulfillment. And that picture, I always pictured that like the skies being black, not with a judgment or an angry visitation from God, but with the prophetic promise of God that's been deposited, seated into the heavens. And when that outpour came, I said, this is it. First the natural, then the spiritual. The greatest move of God in the history of Phoenix is beginning. Many prophets in the last 10 years have said this amazing thing. Prophets of significance, Chuck Smith, Cindy Jacobs, other people, Dutch Sheets. Here's what they've said. America's about to experience its greatest awakening. Third great awakening, however you would, the greatest revival in American history is beginning, about to begin. It's going to happen in our lifetimes. Oh, by the way, it's going to begin in Arizona. Arizona. So I think something began this week. And I want you to get ready. Open your heart for what God has. And I talked about that on Wednesday. And Isaiah 43 says, remember not the things of old. Neither to consider the things of your past. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road. I'll make a way in the wilderness. And I'll make rivers in the desert. God says, I'm going to do something you've never seen. We've never seen in the history of Phoenix 6 inches of rain in one day. We've never, it's historic. It's a 1,000-year flood. I saw a weather person on the Weather Channel say the odds of it happening are 0.0002. I don't know what that means. It means a lot. One in a million or 100,000, whatever it is. The odds, and yet God loves to defy the odds. We're in a season of the supernatural. We're in a season of visitation. We're in a season of breakthrough. We're in a season of the rain of prophetic fulfillment falling on the hearts of the people of God. Get ready, baby. It's raining. Get ready. God's doing something. It's happening. It's happening. Okay. The door of hope is open. Turn to your neighbor and say, the door's open. Our main text will be Hosea chapter 2. Let's read together. Verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. God's speaking about Israel. I will bring her into the wilderness. I will speak comfort to her. I love this. God says, how can I help my people get it? I will use the most intimate language there is on earth. I'll use the expression of a husband to a wife. That's how much I love you, God says. I will give her the vineyards from there, her vineyards. Oh, man, get ready. There's a harvest of the kingdom you're assigned to produce. that's going to grow in this season. And the valley of Achor as a door of hope, coming back to that in a minute. She will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. Well, God delivered Israel from Egypt. Remember that? That's a type of salvation. I wrote a book called The Joshua Generation. In that allegory, that metaphor, that God, by the blood of a blemishless lamb, over the doorposts of the house of the Israelites who were slaves for 400 years in Egypt, God delivered a whole generation. And wherever there was blood, the angel of the Lord passed over, the angel of judgment passed over. And they were delivered by blood, just like we are. And God says, I'm going to bring back the joy of what it means to be saved. I'm going to bring back the rich graces that were evident and manifest when I first saved you. Get ready for the happiest season of your life. Get ready for the joy of your salvation, restoring, returning, being more than it's ever. God's going to blow your mind. God's going to love you out of loneliness. God's going to love you out of depression. God's going to love you out of discouragement. God can't wait to hear you sing again. I was doing dishes, Mary in the kitchen. I heard my son, Matthew, he was in his bedroom singing. My daughter Melody has been singing. She's been singing in church with a microphone since she's been three. In a little white dress before Pontius. Yeah, that's her whole life. My son Tim, but my son Matthew is more reserved. And he's just singing away in his bedroom. And I looked at Mary and said, what's up with him? I said, Matt, what's up with you? He says, Dad, I met a girl. You know what God loves? God loves to hear you sing. Because you've met with him. You've met his love. You've met his nature. God's going to give you your song back, baby. God's going to give you your joy back. I will allure her. I will romance her. I'll put on some Sinatra. I'm going to get her in the mood. I'm going to shift her atmosphere. I'm going to shift her attitude. You see, when people suffer and things go wrong, it's hard to look at life in a positive light. But God says, I'm going to love you until you see right. And he says this, there's a contradiction in this statement. He says, in the valley of Achor, Achor means trouble. It's a derivative of Achan, the man who troubled Israel in the book of Joshua by stealing what was devoted to the Lord. The whole city of Jericho was to be devoted to God, the first fruits of the promised land. He took some gold and some items, some silk, and hid it in his tent and got everybody in trouble because he robbed God. He dishonored God and he caused trouble. He was stoned in the valley of Achor. So God says, in the same place where trouble's been, I'm going to open a door of hope. And a valley. So picture, you're in a valley. On both sides are mountainous, cavernous hills and cliffs. You're right in the middle. And the name of those cliffs are trouble. You're surrounded by trouble. God says, don't worry, I got a door. You're going to walk right up to a door called hope. And you're going to walk right out of your trouble into the power of my kingdom. I will open a door of hope. I'm here to tell you, God's not done in your story. Just like oxygen, just like your physical body needs oxygen, your soul needs hope. People that do not have hope in their soul suffocate. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I have compassion and all those things. Here's what God says. Don't wait for things to change before you change. You have to dream your way out of what the enemy's put you into. You have to hope your way through trouble. So right in the middle of trouble, I'm going to give you an unreasonable, supernatural, divine hope. Hope is a joyful expectation of good in your future. To joyfully anticipate and expect good things to happen. Billy Graham was preaching in North Carolina. beginning of his ministry. He's out walking. He's trying to find a post office to mail his wife a letter. He can't find it. He's somewhere around the hotel. He asks a little boy right now, hey, little young man, could you please direct me to the post office? Yeah, the little boy says, yeah, well, you missed this. Down there to the streets, turn right, and you'll be right there. Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, by the way, tonight I'm preaching at the Baptist Church. Won't you come and hear me? My title of my message is, How to Get to Heaven. The little boy scratched his head and said, oh, I don't know, mister. Why should I come and hear you preach how to get to heaven when you don't even know how to get to the post office? Billy Graham said, that's a true story. I believe him. God says, I am a God of hope. And hope is not some ethereal, some having a positive. Hope is power. Because hope is the promise of what God will do in your future. Okay, let's go on. And it shall be, verse 16, in that day, says the Lord, you will call me, my husband, Ishi in the Hebrew, my husband. No longer call me my master, Bali. Wow, now we're getting someplace. God says, I can't get you to get it as long as you're serving me from afar instead of standing at my side like a partner. See, the Bible never makes sense when you don't read it through the eyes of the love of Jesus. People become angry and vengeful. You know, the terrorists holding up heads. What a grotesque. But did you know those terrorists think they're serving God? Because their Bible, Quran says that that's an act of worship. That's an act of ultimate service to God. But religious spirits in America do the same thing. We hold the head of preachers. We crucify in the... you hear about Joel Osteen? What a jerk. Really? Gave us the right to judge him. Wait. Well, his theology is wrong. So is yours. The only person that has perfect theology is Jesus. You with me? And of course, Dr. Everett. God says, I want to change. Remember when Jesus is preaching in John 15? He says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Because servants don't know why they're doing what they're called to do. But friends get in on the secret stuff. Friends know why. Moses knew the ways of God, not just the acts of God. God wants to be your friend. Amen. For us, he says, I want to be so close to you. So he uses the closest human relationship, that is a marriage. You're going to stop calling me a distant Lord. You're going to start calling me your husband. Okay. Verse 19. I will engage you, betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness, justice, loving kindness, and mercy. I will betroth or engage you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. These five things: righteousness, justice, loving kindness, mercy, and faithfulness. God says, I've created a covenant. I've created an engagement. I've created a kingdom. I've created an environment. I've created an attachment to you that's so strong. My righteousness makes up for your lack of it. My justice will overcome Satan's accusation. My loving kindness will heal you from your brokenness. My mercy never fails. My faithfulness makes everything, every attribute that I have unfailable, unsearchable, inexhaustible and eternal. God says, I'm faithful. You with me? Grace is when you let God be God in your life and stop trying to do it without him. God, I can't, give me faithfulness. And he will. He said, I'm going to do these things to you. And it shall come to pass. Okay, a couple of points. Hope comes from God. Hope is an attribute of God. And hope is the evidence of God's presence. Wherever hope is present, God is active. He's just sitting there. He's begging. He's never walked. He's been a lame man his whole life. Peter and John coming to the temple, hour of prayer, 3 p.m. They're walking past him in the gate called Beautiful, which means right timing. Horaos. Ecclesiastes says he makes everything beautiful in its time. When it's the right time, it's a beautiful time. Hence the etymology of that gate from being the right season to the beautiful gate. He's sitting there. He says, can I please have an alms? And he lifted up his eyes and looked at Peter. Here's what the Bible says. Looking at Peter, expecting to receive something. Expectation is the atmosphere of the miraculous. Expectation is the atmosphere of the miraculous. If you're not expecting anything, you won't be disappointed. But if you're expecting something, you won't be disappointed. Hope is the fertile ground where the seeds of God's word, the seeds of faith, can grow and mature. So God says, here I am, I love you, I'm for you, I'm with you. I'm opening a door of hope, a door of help, a door of possibilities, a door of I got good things. I was watching TV 25 years ago with one of my sons, I guess it was Timmy, and a DeVry commercial came on. At the end of the commercial, the DeVry student looked up and said, my future's looking great. And my three-year-old son tugged me in the tugged my t-shirt and said, Daddy, my future's looking great. You with me? You have to get this. Because there's a fearfulness in the church that has to leave. Anytime anything goes wrong, from solar flares to things in Russia to terrorists, you know, look at this horrible thing. Thank God Jesus is coming soon. I don't know. It's getting crowded underneath the grand piano. I know he's coming soon for a glorious bride who's made herself ready without spot or wrinkle, living in the fullness of the work of the cross. Oh, he's coming for her. Okay. It will come to pass, verse 21, that I will answer. Look at your neighbor and say, God's about to answer. I will answer. It's a play of words on Jezreel. I will sow. I will answer the heavens, and they will answer the earth. And the earth will answer with grain, new wine, and oil, and they will answer Jezreel. God sows, therefore God reaps. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her who has not obtained mercy. Now here's a prophecy to the Gentile church. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they'll say back to me, you are my God. Whew. So God says, I'm going to talk to the heavens. And I'm going to say to the heavens, I know you've been waiting to pour out. Go ahead and do it. Get this now. God says, I'm releasing what the heavens have withheld, what the heavens have stored. I will answer the heavens. It's time to pour out. And they will answer the earth that says, it's time to drink, Papa. We are thirsty. We are in a dry and thirsty place. And the hunger of the earth is going to meet the abundant supply of the heavens. The heavens can't wait to unleash. The earth can't wait to receive. Let me say it like this. The Holy Spirit can't wait to be unleashed. The church can't wait to receive. And immediately, everything that hasn't happened, then there'll be wine and oil. There'll be grain. You're just one rainstorm away from the greatest harvest of your life. You're just one outpouring away. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. History is going to be made in Phoenix. History is going to be made in Ireland. We're making history. The Holy Spirit's coming in a way, in a fashion, in a manner, in an intensity. Get ready, baby. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. Now, please get this. In the kingdom of God, hope equates to influence. Therefore, whoever possesses the most hope carries the most influence. Whoever possesses the most hope carries the most influence. It's almost a contradiction, because if you want to have a best-selling book, just write about horrible things coming. The end of the world soon. Go buy this book. Well, you should just give it away. What if the world's ending, what why need money? Just give it to us. Okay. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, the Bible says. When hope walks out, depression walks in. You're made to be filled with hope. Lamentations 3 says, in the midst of the book of Lamentations, which is a study in human suffering, Jeremiah is pouring out his broken heart, disappointed by the failure of a generation to turn to God, the judgments that came because of their own sin. But he said this, he shifted his environment, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Listen to me. Hope comes when you feed your mind the right things. Hope is the evidence of a healthy soul that's been feeding or feasting on life-affirming truth. Therefore, I have hope, though through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Amen to that. Because his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Today, the sun came up, the birds sang, the cycles of the earth began afresh and anew. Not only did all of that happen anew, but today, there's more grace today than there was yesterday. Everything God gave you yesterday was wonderful, but God has a brand new batch of life for today. Every day he makes his grace, his mercies, his compassions new. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. When I realize my hope comes from God and not from my circumstances, I have hope. The Lord's good to those who wait. That's the same word, kovah, to hope expectantly for him, to the soul who seeks him. God can't wait to do what he wants to do in your life. Romans 15, whatever things were written, this is talking now, the New Testament, consulting the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The Bible is hope food. If you want hope, feed your spirit the word of God. Amen? Feed your spirit the word of God, and that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God, verse 13, may the God of hope, there's hope comes from God. Listen to me. Every encounter you have with God's presence and word awakens and enlarges the presence of hope in your life. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Someone shout joy. You know it's hope when you're happy. Peter said, they'll ask you for the reason of your hope. What do you mean? They won't ask you for your theological depth. They won't ask you for the reason for your best-selling book on the Antichrist. They'll ask you this. How come you're happy? I'll say it like this. When you can be happy when life is going crappy, you're a great witness for Jesus, okay? Thank God I didn't write the Bible. So God says, I'm the God of hope. Anybody filled with me will possess hope. And hope will be seen by joy. Fill you with all joy and peace and believe you. What does hope do? It believes God has a good future. Hope says, I believe you, Papa. Hope, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Turn to your neighbor and say, the best is yet to come. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God says, I want you to be hope. I want you to be so hopeful you drive people crazy. How can you be so hopeful? Haven't you read the Wall Street
front page. I'll give you so hopeful. You know, when all this is happening, because I keep talking to God. He's an incurable optimist. He says, in the last days, I'm going to do my best thing. Okay, a couple more points. Romans chapter 5. Let me close here. Verse 3. Not only that, but we glory or we rejoice in tribulations. Tribulations, the Greek word diplos, pressure. We rejoice in pressure. Now look up here. When I was a kid, there was a best-selling book about, you know, praising God. Praise God for your cancer. Don't. Praise God in spite of your cancer. Praise God through your cancer. Praise God to get healed of cancer. But when you try to witness to people and tell them, well, you know, my baby died. Well, God just needed a baby in heaven. Shut your cake hole. Let me say it lovingly. That's not a swear word, is it, Melody? If it's not good, it's not God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. The contrast, the world is filled with injustice because sin is here, Satan is active, and all of those things combined make suffering a part of the human expression. God, here's what the Bible says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. Amen? God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he no man with evil. James 1. So God's good. So God says, rejoice. Why? How can I rejoice when pressure comes? The greatest weapon Satan has against you is pressure. Jesus said, in the world you will receive tribulation, pressure. The world's greatest weapon against you is pressure. How can we rejoice in pressure? Because we know something. What do we know? Pressure is going to make us better. Pressure, here's it in your, following your notes, pressure produces perseverance. What is perseverance? The ability to handle pressure. Okay? Your destiny is dependent on your ability to handle pressure. God can't give you more destiny than the pressure you can handle. Well, Pastor, I need another breakthrough. To keep lifting weights, baby. Don't leave your spot. If every time the pressure is on, you move someplace, you leave someplace, you... Perseverance. And perseverance, fortitude, endurance, produces character. Proven character. Anybody besides me want to be like Jesus? I prayed that prayer this morning. Make me more like you, Jesus. What happened? Pressure came. I said, when I pray to be more like you, I expect to smell roses, not touch thorns. But God says, I'm going to use pressure to show you and develop you and teach you how to stand underneath it until my character is formed in you. And when my character is formed in you, the evidence will be, and character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now we're getting someplace. Because you haven't been through the cycle of life. The cycle of an experience is this. Trouble comes. We endure it. We stand by faith. We prevail by prayer. We don't leave our spot. Character is formed. But when character is formed, you cannot have the mature character that God has for you until you're expressing hope. Please get this. When people talk to me now, I'm filled with hope. I shouldn't be. You with me? But I found something out that if you give God the chance, he'll write a good ending to your story. That he does work all things together for good. And God wants you to be one of those people with a silly grin on your face all the time. What's up with you? I know you're going through hard things. How come you're smiling? Because I know how it's going to end good. Hope does not disappoint. The only way, listen to me, The only way for hope to not disappoint is to be fulfilled. Come on now. Come on now. Hope does not disappoint. A door of hope is opening for you. Hope is giving you access to a realm of possibilities, to a different future than the devil had planned for you, than people have pushed you into, than the world's pressure. God says, I got something way beyond all that stuff. I'm going to use what the devil meant for evil. I'm going to turn it for good. I'm going to make the worst thing that happened to you become the best thing. I'm going to make the devil repay you 7 times. I just need you to stand. I just need you to trust me, to stay in the game, to keep believing me, keep worshiping, keep standing on my promises, keep praying, keep persevering. If you'll keep persevering, your character will keep growing. And when your character keeps growing, eventually you sprout the fragrant flower of hope and you start smelling sweet to everybody because you're not just a survivor, you're an overcomer. And there's the fragrance of hopefulness around your life and people are attracted to the fragrance of Christ in you. It's got to end in hope. And when you've hit hope, you've hit pay dirt. Because hope is the fertile ground where the seeds of faith grow and mature. And when you have hope, you have everything. Hey, stand your feet, everybody. Tell your neighbor the door of hope is open. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Let me say something about hope. When your heart... We recently found out that there are biological connections from your heart to your head. Some scientists call the human heart now the second mind. Have you ever had something come to you and you felt like something in your heart, like almost pressure there? Heart muscles, heart reactions around your heart. God addresses heart issues. The Word of God addresses heart healing. When you say things that are powerful, that are hope-filled, that are life-filled, it feeds your heart life. You with me? I was sitting in a doctor's office in Laguna Beach, California, 10 years ago. We were on family vacation. Had a problem, went to the doctor. He said to me, well, I think you have this kind of cancer. Before he could finish the sentence, I said, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. He said, what? I said, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Come on. Your future needs your vocabulary to fulfill its promise. And when you can talk today about what God's going to do tomorrow, you accelerate your life into that promise and grace. You overcome the difficulties of the dream you have for today determines the dream you have tomorrow determines the way you live today. When you dream about tomorrow today, God gives you the strength of tomorrow today, and you overcome today's problems with tomorrow's grace. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I want every person to say, Pastor, I've been battling discouragement. I was preaching 2 weeks ago, looked over to the pastors, and I said to a couple hundred pastors, how many of you are battling discouragement? Two-thirds of their hands went up. I know if people that pray and preach for a living are fighting discouragement, everyone is. You with me? If you say, Pastor, I've been fighting a battle with discouragement, today I'm going to lay claim to hope. If that's you, just raise your hand at me for a minute. We're going to overcome any kind of weapon against your destiny. Okay, keep your hands raised. Everybody raise your hands to heaven. Say this out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you for hope. Today I receive your hope into my heart. I boldly confess the best is yet to come in my life. I boldly declare all things will work together for my good. I boldly declare God's not finished writing my story. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for flooding me with joy and peace as I trust you and receive hope through your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and thank God for hope. Thank God for hope. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bind suicide. I bind self-destruction. I bind the spirit of depression. And I declare freedom to every person who's struggling with any of those three things. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. I prayed for someone last week in a long battle, like a 20-year battle, and in one prayer got freed. You're only one visit from God away from being free. One visit from God. Listen, I want you, we got to dismiss, and for time's sake, Wednesday night ministry here, but I want people that raise your hands for discouragement. I'd like to, if you could just take 5 more minutes, I'd like to spend time praying for you. I'd like you to know today the God of hope, the God of all hope, will give you so much hope that your life abounds, overflows in hope in this season. If you say, Pastor, that's me, I want you to come down front. Anyone fighting discouragement, let us keep praying for you. The rest of you, for just a minute, raise your hands. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord. And worship the Lord. Don't forget about the 1 o'clock meeting for volunteers. Don't forget about the artwork that's available.